Through me you pass into the city of woe. Through me you pass into eternal pain. Through me among the people lost for aye. Just as the founder of my fabric moved, to rear me was the task of power divine, supremest wisdom and primeval love. Before me things create were none, save things eternal, and eternal I shall endure. All hope abandon, ye who enter here. Cycling is always a peculiar concept to try and explain to the unsubscribed and the non-believers. Cycling as a hobby is no problem. Just one man and his bike enjoying the sun on his back and the breeze on his brow, shooting through the countryside away from his woes and toward hope and expectation. But cycling as a sport? Now that's the ridiculous part. How do you explain to someone just how deep these professional cyclists go? That they are pushing their bodies to the limit in ways we can't even imagine. The sacrifices they make for a sport which pay them a pittance. They eat hardly anything, train 5 or 6 hours a day, and don't see their families for the majority of the year. Plenty of them do this, and never even win a race. There are also plenty who have filled themselves full of drugs and blood in order to live this life of sufferance with no reward to show for it. The Divine Comedy seems like an appropriate description of the sport of cycling. We hail these lunatics on two wheels and we describe them in divine, heroic, or mythical terms. Just the titles of written works about them tells us all we need to know. Kings of the road, giants of the route, hearts of lions, the sweat of the gods, a race for madmen. These cyclists are divine. It's the sport itself which is the comedy. Doping, mechanical doping, hopping onto trains during races, hanging onto team cars travelling at 80 kilometres per hour, 90 degree turns in the final 500 metres of a race, road furniture, the lack of TV graphics for top level races, no women's Tour de France, Bjarne Riis, the World Road Race in Qatar, no individual pursuit at the Olympics, the World Tour overall classification. It's a black comedy for sure, very black, but a comedy nonetheless. Perhaps Dante Alighieri was foretelling the sport of cycling when he wrote his Divine Comedy 700 years ago. The cyclists ride on through the depths of hell, the fans remain in a constant state of purgatory, with paradise always just one unreachable kilometre further into the distance for everyone involved. Dante wrote about the 9 circles of hell and the soul's journey toward God while wandering the Italian countryside, having been exiled from the city of Florence. He completed it in the year 1320, but it wasn't until 1472 that the first printed edition of the Divine Comedy was published by Johann Neumeister and Evangelista Angelini da Trevi in the city of Foligno in the region of Umbria. The modern-day Divine Comedy, in the form of the Giro d'Italia, is destined for Foligno on stage 7 of this year's race. Only twice before has a Giro stage finished in Foligno. The most recent was very recent. In 2014, after the race returned from Ireland, Nasser Buhani, helped by the fact that Marcel Kittel had gone home with a sick note, won the bunch sprint finish. The only other previous winner of a Giro stage here, and consequently the first winner of a Giro stage here, was Franco Bettosi, way back in 1968. This was the Giro where Eddie Merckx became so much more than a classics rider. He completely dominated that race, winning 4 stages, all the jerseys, and beating everybody by at least 5 minutes. It was the birth of Eddie Merckx the Grand Tour rider, and Eddie Merckx the greatest cyclist of all time. Bettosi was a footnote in that race and in the career of Eddie Merckx. Just another one of the many careers that Merckx destroyed by refusing to relent in his quest to win absolutely every time he plonked his arse on a saddle. But despite the presence of Merckx, Bettosi made a good career for himself. He was Italian national champion twice, he won the Tour of Lombardy twice, and including the stage he won in Foligno in 1968, he won 20 stages of the Giro d'Italia. He was also the first ever rider to win the points classification of both the Giro and the Tour. But he wasn't your average cyclist. Bettosi's purgatory came in the form of a heart condition. To win races, he needed his heart to work as much as possible in order to pump his body over the line. But on occasion, the harder Bettosi tried, the faster his heart beat. Faster and faster and faster. This condition and its victim is described in John Foote's History of Italian Cycling, Pedalare Pedalare. He writes, "It was one of the strangest sights of all in the history of cycling. but fans became used to it in the 1960s and 1970s. A professional rider would suddenly stop, get off his bike mid-race and stand still, waiting. All the others would ride past. Was he mad or just eccentric? Did he want to lose? What exactly was he waiting for? The answer was a bizarre one and was summed up in one of that cyclist's nicknames, Cuore Matto, Crazy Heart. Franco Battosi was the cyclist in question, and he quite literally had a crazy heart. In the 1960s, Battosi had been diagnosed with heart rate problems. His doctor, who also became well known as a result, advised him to stop altogether when his heart was beating too strongly. Not surprisingly, this often happened during professional cycling races, when occasionally his heart rate reached 220 beats a minute. What was extraordinary was that despite this obvious handicap, Battosi had a long and successful career in a world in which he was competing with heavyweights such as Merckx and Felice Gimondi. It was often said, however, that Battosi's heart problems were largely psychological. Today they might be described as panic attacks, a diagnosis which would explain some of Battosi's absurd losses. But Battosi was also known as Felina, Moth, because of the smooth, light way he would win races, and because he sometimes seemed to be floating. A Tuscan, like Bartali and Nencini, who is said to have discovered him, Battosi's father was a tractor driver. Like so many other cyclists from his generation, his background lay in a rural Italy which was fast disappearing. August 1972. The World Championships in Gap, southeastern France. Franco Battosi had all but won. The race was over. He was on his own with just a few metres to go and the following group far behind. They seemed to have given up the chase. Battosi got out of the saddle to sprint. Then something incredible happened. He suddenly appeared to be cycling underwater. His speed dropped appreciably. He veered wildly to his left and looked back more than once. Suddenly, those behind, including Merckx, were gaining on him. Just before the finish line, one of them passed him. An incredulous Marino Basso raised his hands in the air as he realised he had won. His eyes wide open in total surprise. It was one of the most spectacular turnarounds in the history of sport. Although Battosi was a fine rider and climber, and particularly strong in one-day classics, he was destined to be remembered above all for his heart problems. And for this one spectacular defeat. Bruno Rashi later wrote that he had been afraid to win. He admitted that it had been his psychological frailty and not anything physical which had paralysed him as the finish line came into view. The end of the race, seen by millions on television, became known as the infinite sprint. Later, some critics drew a distinction between a loser, a word which was inappropriate for Battosi given his many, many victories, and a non-winner, which captured more accurately his ability not to come first in the big races. After stage 7 of this year's Giro, there will be another name to add to that of Franco Battosi and Nasser Bouhanni as winners of a Giro stage in Foligno. As stages go, it's not one of the toughest on the route, so it's unlikely that the hellish adjectives and inferno-esque imagery will be used to describe the victor's journey to the finish line. But by the end of the Giro, we'll have a new hero, a new demigod, a new member of the divine. And the comedy rolls on.